Take your Bible, if you would, tonight, Joshua chapter 22. Joshua chapter 22. The war is over, the land has been conquered, and Joshua is discharging the army. He's sending them back home to enjoy what they've conquered, to as the Bible says, beat their plows in, or their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And chapter 22 talks about the return of the 2.5 tribes that got their inheritance on the east side of Jordan, them going back to their possessions. So look at verse 1, chapter 22, where the Bible says, "Then Joshua called the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh." These were the 2.5 tribes that Moses had given land to on the east side of Jordan. "And said unto them, ye have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice in all that I have commanded you." And again, he's discharging them from the army, and as he does, he's thanking them for being obedient to those that God had put in command over them. Back in Numbers 32, Moses had said unto this group of people, "If ye will do the thing, this thing, if ye will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord, until he hath driven out his enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord, then afterward ye shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord." You remember when these 2.5 tribes saw the land of Og, O-G, and Sihon, east of Jordan. It was good for cattle, and they had a lot of cattle. And they asked Moses, "Could we just have this land for our inheritance?" And Moses got a little upset. He said, "Now listen, you remember what the spies that came back from spying out the land did, how they discouraged the people from going into the promised land. You're doing the same thing." And they said, no, we'll go help fight. We'll go into Canaan and we'll fight. Only when all the battle's over, let us have this land." And Moses says, "Okay, if you'll do that, if you'll go in before your brethren and help them take the Canaan land, take the land of Canaan, then you can come back and enjoy this land." So that's what Moses was telling them there in Numbers 32. Joshua repeated it in Joshua chapter 1 when he said, "And to the Reubenites and to the Gadites and to the half-tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, that if you go before this people, if you help them take the land of Canaan, then this land will be yours." And as Joshua is discharging them, dismissing them from the army, he says, "You did what Moses told you to do. You did what I told you to do." Now look at verse 3. "Ye have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God hath given rest unto your brethren as he promised them. Therefore, now return ye. Get you in unto your tents and unto the land of your possession, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side of Jordan. But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments and to cleave unto him and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." So Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went unto their tents. And let me just skip down to verse 8. "And he spake unto them, saying, return with much riches unto your tents, and with very much cattle, with silver and with gold, and with brass and with iron, and with very much raiment. Divide the spoil of your enemies with your brethren. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh returned and departed from the children of Israel out of Shiloh," which is in the land of Canaan, "to go into the country of Gilead, to the land of their possession, whereof they were possessed, according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses." I want you to notice a couple things. As Joshua dismissed them, he dismissed them to their inheritance, to their possession. We read in verse 4, "Get you into the land of your possession." They were first in the assignment of it. In other words, they got their lot before anybody else, but they were the last to enjoy it. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first.
As he dismissed them, he dismissed them with their pay. In verse 8, he said, return with much riches. You know, the Bible teaches, who goes to warfare at their own charge? The soldier is worthy of his hire, the Bible teaches. And so the land would belong to the 9.5 other tribes, not these 2.5, the 9.5 other tribes. But they would return with cattle, silver, gold, brass, iron, much raiment. And again, they were probably gone from their families for 6 years, 6 or 7 years. They had been fighting most of that time. It was only fair that since they weren't going to enjoy any of the land west of Jordan, that they shared in the plunder, in the spoil of the land. And so they were paid for their efforts. They were discharged honorably. In verse 3, he says, you've not left your brethren these many days. You've obeyed the commanders that God has put over you, Moses and I. You've also obeyed the Lord. You've also obeyed the Lord. And Bill and Ruth Ann, and when I was making my notes, I was thinking about Timothy. Soldiers, away from their family. He's in training. They were fighting. And yet, in the midst of all that, they stayed true to their God. They didn't back down from anything that God told them to do. And then they were dismissed or discharged with good counsel. Look again at verse 5. Joshua didn't tell them, now go back and cultivate your fields. He didn't tell them, go back and fortify your cities. He didn't even tell them to go back and expand their territory. He said, more important than anything like that is your relationship to God. And in verse 5 he says, but take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and to cleave unto him and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Again, good advice to anybody. It sort of sounds like the first commandment, doesn't it? That Jesus said when somebody asked him, what's the greatest commandment? He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, might, and strength. Joshua says, cleave unto him. Get close to him and hang on. And walk in his ways. Walk in his ways. In the New Testament, Jesus would say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these other things. Things to eat, things to wear, land, the things of the earth. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto you. Joshua was saying the same thing. Hey, you guard and you build your relationship with God. Stay close to him. Walk in his ways and his commandments. Love him and serve him with everything that you are. And God will take care of the rest. And again, it hasn't changed. He was dismissed. They were dismissed with his blessing, verse 6. So Joshua blessed them. And then they returned home. I want you to notice. They left Shiloh. In verse 9, it says they departed out of Shiloh. I will remind you that Shiloh was the headquarters to the west of Jordan. It was there that the tabernacle was. And it would stay there until, and the Ark of the Covenant was there. The mercy seat, and it would stay there until David would move it to Jerusalem. And so they left Shiloh, they left the tabernacle, they left the altar, and they returned to Gilead. Now look at verse 10. And when they came unto the borders of Jordan, that are in the land of Canaan, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh built there an altar by Jordan, a great altar to see to. So they crossed Jordan. They went into their land. And they built an altar. A great altar. A big altar. An altar that everybody could see. An altar like the one that God had instructed Moses to make. An altar like the one that was used to offer sacrifices to God. An altar like the one in the tabernacle at Shiloh. Look at verse 11. And the children of Israel heard say, Behold, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh have built an altar over against the land of Canaan in the borders of Jordan at the passage of the children of Israel. The other tribes heard about it. Benjamin had the land that was directly across from where they talked about where they crossed. And somebody from the tribe of Benjamin probably saw the altar first, but word spread quickly back to Shiloh, back to Joshua, back to Eleazar, the priest, back to the other 9.5 tribes. Verse 12, and when the children of Israel heard of it, the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered themselves together at Shiloh to go up to war against them. They heard that they built this altar. And they jumped to a conclusion. They made an assumption. Why else would you build an altar except to offer sacrifices on it? These people are rebelling against God. They are disobeying God. I'll read in just a minute a couple of verses from Leviticus where God had instructed his people, hey, look, if you're going to offer a sacrifice, don't do it in the field. Bring it to the tabernacle. Offer it on the altar in the tabernacle. And so these 9.5 tribes, when they heard that the 2.5 had built this altar, they rose up in holy zeal and said, we cannot let these people do this. We cannot let them revolt and rebel against God like this. Verse 13, and the children of Israel sent unto the children of Reuben, and to the children of Gad, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, into the land of Gilead, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar the priest, and with him 10 princes of each chief house, a prince throughout all the tribes of Israel. And each one was an head of the house of their fathers among the thousands of Israel. So they made an assumption. They jumped to a conclusion. Said, these 2.5 tribes have built this altar to offer sacrifices on. They're rebelling against God. They're disobeying God. But they used good judgment. Instead of leaping into action and, you know, arming the army and marching the whole army across Jordan to get ready to, you know, discipline them, they formed a committee of Phinehas, the son of the high priest at that time, and a prince from each of the 10 tribes, and they sent this committee to check out what they heard and to verify, you know, what they assumed was going to happen on that altar. Verse 15, and they came unto the children of Reuben, unto the children of Gad, unto the half-tribe of Manasseh, unto the land of Gilead, and they spake with them, saying, thus saith the whole congregation of the Lord. Now he said, we're a committee, but we're speaking for everybody. We're speaking for the whole congregation. What trespass is this that ye have committed against the God of Israel, to turn away this day from following the Lord, in that ye have builded you an altar that ye might rebel this day against the Lord? God had commanded, again, he had commanded, when you offer a sacrifice, bring it to the tabernacle. Offer it on the altar in the tabernacle. Leviticus chapter 17. Whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers which sojourn among you, that offereth a burnt offering of sacrifice, and bringeth it not unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation to offer unto the Lord, even that man shall be cut off from among his people. And God was saying, look, if you're going to offer a sacrifice and you do it someplace else other than the tabernacle, I'm going to cut you off. You're disobeying me. You're revolting against me. And so this committee came to these 2.5 tribes. So why are you committing this sin? Why are you committing this trespass? Verse 17, is the iniquity of Peor too little for us, from which we are not cleansed until this day, although there was a plague in the congregation of the Lord? They said, remember what happened at Peor? Peor, they were talking about an event that's described in Numbers chapter 25, where Israel got mixed up with Moab. And the Bible says they started worshiping their gods, started bowing down before their gods, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against them. And the Bible back there in Numbers chapter 25 says there was 24,000 people killed in a plague because they started worshiping false gods. They started disobeying God. And so this committee said to these 2.5 tribes, what are you doing? Don't you remember what God did when he got angry with us when we disobeyed at Peor? 24,000 people killed. Verse 17. But that ye must turn away this day from following the Lord? And will it be seeing ye rebel today against the Lord that tomorrow he will be wroth with the whole congregation of Israel? They said, look, we're here not just for your sakes, but for our sakes. If you disobey God, his wrath is going to be on you. But if God works like he did in the past, his wrath is going to be on the whole nation of Israel. Skip verse 19 for a minute. Go down to verse 20. Did not Achan, the son of Zerah, commit a trespass and the accursed thing, and wrath fell on all the congregation of Israel, and that man perished not alone in his iniquity? Achan had stolen from Jericho. God had said everything in Jericho is mine, and Achan took the gold and the silver and that Babylonian garment, hid it under his tent. And you remember, in punishment, God punished the whole nation because they went up to fight against Ai, and they, after not losing a man at Jericho, they lost 32 men in a battle for a city that was much smaller than Jericho, and it was the wrath of God because of the sin of one man. And so this committee says, we're here because we're not only worried about you, but we're worried about us. You're going to bring the wrath of God not only on yourself, but on us. Why would you do that? Look at verse 19. Notwithstanding, if the land of your possession be unclean, then pass ye over into the land of the possession of the Lord, wherein the Lord's tabernacle dwelleth, and take possession among us, but rebel not against the Lord, nor rebel against us in building you an altar beside the altar of the Lord our God. Now, here's what they said. Look, if your land's unclean, or if you are too far from Shiloh, if you think traveling back to Shiloh to offer sacrifices is too far, then come on. We'll make room for you on the west side of Jordan. We'll make room. We'll give up some of our possessions. That's the only way they can make room for them, is to give up some of what's already been assigned to them. Said, we'll divide it up again, and we'll make room for you west of Jordan so that you can be close to Shiloh, so that you don't have to, if that's why you're doing it, because it's so far to come, we'll give you room in the land of Canaan so you can be close to Shiloh, close to the altar of the Lord God. So you don't have to rebel. Verse 21. Then the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh answered and said unto the heads of the thousands of Israel, the Lord God of gods, the Lord God of gods, he knoweth, and Israel he shall know. If it be in rebellion or if in transgression against the Lord, save us not this day, that we have built us an altar to turn from following the Lord, or to offer thereon burnt offerings or meat offerings, or to offer peace offerings thereon, let the Lord himself requite it. What they were saying is, the Lord knows our motive, and you will too. But the Lord knows our motive. If our motive is to rebel, then you go ahead and mete out punishment. Go ahead. And let God mete out punishment too. If that's our motive, if we're doing it to rebel against God, then you go ahead and punish us, and God, you go ahead and punish us. But they said, that's not our motive. We didn't build this altar to offer sacrifices on. Verse 24, and if we have not rather done it for the fear of this thing, saying, in time to come, your children might speak unto our children, saying, what have ye to do with the Lord God of Israel? For the Lord hath made Jordan a border between us and you, ye children of Reuben and children of Gad. You have no part in the Lord. So shall your children make our children cease from fearing the Lord. And so here's what they were saying. They said, we're not building this altar to offer sacrifice. We're building it for the future. We're building it for our children. Because here's what we don't want to happen. The Jordan is a border between us. And sometime in the future, our children may want to come back to wherever the altar is and offer a sacrifice. And your children may say to our children, well, you're not part of Israel. You live on the other side of Jordan. You don't have any part in the Lord. And they said, we don't want that to happen. So we built an altar. Verse 26, therefore we said, let us now prepare to build us an altar, not for burnt offering nor for sacrifice, but that it may be a witness between us and you and our generations after us, that we might do the service of the Lord before him with our burnt offerings and with our sacrifices and with our peace offerings, that your children may not say to our children in time to come, ye have no part in the Lord. Therefore said we that it shall be when they should so say to us or to our generations in time to come, that we may say again, behold the pattern of the altar of the Lord, which our fathers made, not for burnt offerings nor for sacrifice, but is a witness between us and you. They said, if they ever say that, if your children ever say to our children, hey, you're on the other side of Jordan. You have no part in the Lord. You have no right to come to the tabernacle and offer sacrifices on the altar of God. Then we want our children to be able to say, but look at the altar we built. It's built after the pattern of God's altar. And it stands as a witness that we are part of God's family, that we are part of his chosen people, and that we do have the right, even though we live on the other side of Jordan, to come to the tabernacle and to offer our sacrifices on the altar. Verse 29, God forbid that we should rebel against the Lord and turn this day from following the Lord to build an altar for burnt offering, for meat offering, or for sacrifices besides the altar of the Lord our God that is before his tabernacle. And so, again, here's a committee. They're coming with holy zeal. They're coming to find out if what they've assumed is really true, because if it's true, the whole army is going to come and they're going to punish this people. They're going to try to get them back in line. But the people said, no, that's not our intent. That's not our purpose. Our purpose is to ensure that in the future we will still have access to the altar. And we built an altar just like God's altar as a witness. Now, we won't take the time to read the rest of the verses except verse 34. But in verse 30, you see that the committee was pleased with their response. They said, we're glad. You know, we understand your reason. It would have been nice if you might have run this by Joshua or, you know, by Eleazar so that we knew what you were going to doing before you did it. And I'm just reading between the lines. They might have said that. You know, it would have been nice so that, you know, we wouldn't have to worry about it. But we understand your reasons. And in verses 31 and 32, 33, they go back to the rest of the 10 tribes, the 9.5 tribes, and they share the reasoning of these 2.5 tribes, and the rest of the people accept it as well. And they're glad that they're not rebelling against God. And then verse 34, and the children of Reuben and the children of Gad called the altar Ed, for it shall be a witness between us that the Lord is God. The name Ed means a witness. And that's why they named this altar. It was a witness that they were still true to the Lord God. And again, they did not want to lose their access to his altar to offer their sacrifices, to offer their burnt offerings. And again, if there's one truth that we can take away, and I think there's been several, but if there's one lesson that we can take from this chapter is, you know, sometimes we hear things and we jump to conclusions and we make assumptions. Rather going in with guns blazing, as we sometimes do, it might be better to talk and find out what people's motives and the intents of their hearts are. And it might save a battle. It might save a battle. Glad you're here tonight. Let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed.